Okay, we're beginning here, five lines up from the bottom of Samach Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the Klal Uprat Uchlau that it learned from Alko Dovar Pesha and the Prat, which is Ma Prat Mifurash Dovar Mitaltel B'Gufo Mamon. Afko Dovar Mitaltel B'Gufo Mamon. Gemara says that there's another common denominator between the items here that should have become a qualification for the Pratim as to what you would include. Ma Prat Mifurash Dovar Shenivlato Mitameh B'Magom Masa. Over here, the items that are mentioned in the Pasuk, that are Pratim, also share this common denominator, which is that when they die and they are in Nevela, that Nevela is Mitame, not only with contact, but also if you carry it, Bimasa. So too, the only thing you should include are other animals that have that similar Tuma. And what does that come to exclude? It comes to include the case of a Fotlo. Birds would not be that case. When it says, can you say such a thing that that's a common denominator here? Because that works well for three of the items, which is the shor, the se, and the chamor. But there's also a fourth item, which is the salma. So that's what Gemir Matzit Amart Halki Vash Salmaktiv. Doesn't the pasuk say salma? Amre Ana Bebalei Chaim Kamin. And I'm speaking about the livestock, the animate objects that are in the pasuk. Ema Bebalei Chaim, the common denominator between the livestock that is mentioned in the pasuk is Davar Shenivlato Mitabe Magamasa In. Lo. So that's what I would have thought. Because we look at each independent item as if it's its own klal uprat uchlal. I mean that we don't just say since the four items are mentioned in the pasuk, we therefore would say that you have to qualify by being common denominator between all four items, but we rather segregate each one out, and that means that balei chayim, all the livestock over here, we will bring them together to create a prat by which we will determine what is ke'ein ha-prat over here. And that would mean that you have shor, se, and chamor, and the common denominator is that they are mitamei ben vela b'maga u'masa aval ofot lo, which would be to the exclusion of ofot. Now Tosfot over here mentions what is so unique here that they say that when you have a klal prat uchlal and you have numerous pratim, you have a number of detailed items there, that we say, oh, each one is a klal prat uchlal by itself. He says, "Vim tomar v'alakaman gad be'ivin atata kesef tashin kulu prati v'achat." We learn all the pratim together as one block. Who, why over here, or what over here makes one change that or see that differently? He says, "V'yesh lamar k'ivin dichtiv al kol prato k'ichtiv al shor al chamor al se al salma." The word "al" appears four separate times. Shemaminam the midrash kochad v'chad prato be'ape nafshe. Comes to teach you that each one independently you're going to learn. Inami, al korchach, it's not the midrash called chad prat babinavshe, lum eight ofot, tilachi, lishtok mikulu prate, vichtuv somaluchude vitulo. Or the reason is that if you think that these items are all one block, then just write salma, and salma would include everything. It would include balei chayim, enim balei chayim, and you wouldn't be bound by any of these pratim, it would just be salma, includes everything. So if you don't think that, if you don't think that each one is separate, then just write one item. The fact that you wrote each one of them out tells you that there's something meaningful or significant in each one of these items in the klal uprat uchlal. So the Gemara says, "Im kein nichtov rachmana chad prato." If you were right that it's coming to exclude an oaf, then you just need one of these items. You don't need all three of them. Hey nichtov rachmana. Which one of these three items should the Torah write? Ikatov rachmana sure. Had the Torah written the word sure only, hava mina karev legabim mizbech in shein karev legabim mizbech lo. Then only if you can be brought on Mizbeach, meaning a behemah Torah that goes on the Mizbeach, then you would be included. If you do not go on the Mizbeach, then you would not be included. Bikata v'achmanat chamor, had the Torah only specified chamor, hava mina kadosh b'bechora in, she'en kadosh b'bechora lo. Only if you are kadosh, or you have the requirement that the firstborn of your species is brought on the Mizbeach, or is kadosh b'bechora, then you are part of this klal uprat uchlal. But if not, you do not share that common denominator with the pratim that are here, then you would not be included in the din of kefel. Therefore, it wrote shor and chamor, and as Rashi says over here, that had you just written the word chamor, you would have thought it has to be similar to it in three ways, which means that it is a balei chayim bibchora v'nivlato mitam'a. So that would include all items, but it would exclude a tzvi and ayal, because they only have a common denominator with it in two items. Therefore, I wrote the word shor, dim'enu inyan lo, if it's not necessary for itself, dim'enu inyan lo she'enu kadosh b'bechora, to teach you that even something not kadosh b'bechora, dadami miyat b'tarte l'prata, at least have two issues that are common or a common denominator with the prat, balei chayim, v'nevelatom etameh, ulo'olam ofot lo, but then you would exclude ofot. So that's what the Gemara says over here, that it specified shor. If it was just shor, then I would have thought that only karev v'gam izbeach is included. If it just wrote chamor, I would have thought only things that are kadosh b'bechorah. So therefore it wrote shor v'chamor. What's the necessity for seh then? To include ofot. So if you had just written chamor, the unique aspect of a chamor is that it is a behemat me'ah, that is chayav v'bechorah. And so therefore, if you just written chamor, you would think only animals that are chayav and bechor would be included. Along comes the word shor to teach you that's not the case, because shor is also chayav and bechor. So then I wouldn't have to write shor, elaim came, it's enu inyan the bechor, to teach you that bechor is not important, but we're including even their other items. But there's still a common denominator here between shor and chamor, which is that fact that, number one, they are behemot, livestock, live animals, balei chayim, and that they are metamei tumat nevela. So along comes the word seh, which is also extraneous, and a seh is also chayab bechora. And an unnecessary dimension over here. And it's also mitameh tuma bin vela. So then it's completely unnecessary to mention here because you could have included it from shor chamor. So enu inyan leseh, it's neu inyan of. Or says, ve'ema latuya ofot tihorim. Maybe it only includes ofot that are ksherim. Dumya deseh. Similar to a seh. Dimitameh bigadim abeta blia. Because kosher birds, if you eat the nevela of a kosher bird, when you swallow it, you are mitamei, your bigadim become tamei. Avalofot meim, but afot meim meaning non-kosher birds, lebu tuma, that have no tuma whatsoever, delo mitamei bigadim abeit abliyat, they don't even have that one unique side of tuma that a of tahor has, lo, that they should not be included. Where it says, kol ribuyehu. The word kol is a ribuy. So, we've seen before that there are different methods of limud. There's the limud of klalu pratuklau. And there's a limud of ribuy, miut, uribuy. So the Gemara over here is suggesting that the word kol that appears over here, and that's because it says, al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al sama, al kol aveda, makes this into a ribuy, miut, and ribuy, rather than a klal, uprat, uklal. Now generally, these are two different schools of thought. The way that the Balei Tosafot noted before is that even according to the one who normally learns klal uprat uklal, over here, because of the way it's phrased, or because of the extraneous language that's brought over here, we would say that you'd be doresh it as a riboy miut uriboy. And Tosafot goes as far as to say that when the Gemara before said it was a klal uprat uklal, it didn't really mean it was a klal uprat uklal. It really meant it was a riboy miut uriboy, or a riboy. It just uses the language that's normally found in these types of limudim. And it called it a klal uprat uklal, even though it's not really a klal uprat uklal. So now the Gemara says, "V'ho'echa dichtiv kol ribuyehu." Is it really true that everywhere you use the word kol, then you darshin the psukim as a ribuy miut, uribuy, rather than a klat uprat uklal? V'ha gabe maser, by maser sheni, it says, dichtiv, v'natata kesef b'chol asher tave nafshecha, says that you will spend the money of the Maiser Sheni in any way that you please. That's the klal. Then it specifies what those ways are that you please. Bakar, ubetzon, ubayayin, ubeshechar, prat. It enumerates those specific items of bakar, tzon, yayin, and shechar. And then the pasuk continues afterwards and says, mechol asher teshal nafshecha, which is chazar v'kalal. So now you have a klal, uprat, uchlal. And from that we learn, that you only include things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat mifurash pri mipri, bigdulei karka. The common denominator between these items is that they are pri mipri, meaning that they have an ability to self-reproduce, whether it's fruits which have their seed embedded inside of them, or whether it's animals that can reproduce themselves. And gidulei karka, they are produce of the land. Now here, the use of gidulei karka is much looser definition than in normal. Generally, gidulei karka means something that literally grows from the land, grows from the ground. Over here, gidulei karka includes animals, which obviously don't grow from the ground, but their primary sustenance comes from the ground. Af kol, pri mipri, gidulei karka. So too, anything that fits into those categories will be included in the items that you're allowed to buy or purchase with your ma'ot, ma'aser sheni. And what we learn from that, primi pri, comes to exclude mayim, melach, water, salt, kmehim, pitriot, fungi, and gedulei karka comes to exclude dagim, fish, which whose primary sustenance does not come from the land, but rather from the water. So those are the items that are excluded by this. Amrei, bakol klala, kol ribuyahu. Now we'll make a distinction that in the case by Meisr Sheni, it says, v'natata keseh bechol asher titave nafshecha. And then it says at the end of it, u'bechol asher tishalcha nafshecha. So the word here is not kol, but rather bechol. Whereas over here, by the case of kefel, it says, al kol davar pesha, al kol aveda. So it uses the word kol without the bet in front of it. So I will say, it's bechol is a klal upratu klal. Kol is a riboy hu, which is a riboy miut uriboy. Where it says vibay dema, another way to look at it is kol klolo hu. Enochanami, kol and bikol are both klalu pratu klal. Miu, kol de hocho riboy hu. But it's exceptional over here that the word kol means a riboy miut uriboy. Michde tiv mi kara, because over here it says a klalu pratu klal at the beginning of the psukim. Dichtiv, because this parshia of Shomer Chinam opens in the following manner, which is Kitein Ish El Re'ehu, so that is a klal. Kesef O Kelim, which is a prat. Lishmor, that is Vadar V'chlal. V'yisach Adatcha Hai Akol Davar Pesha Nami L'Kalu Pratu Chlal Hu Da'ata. If you think that later on in those psukim, what it says Akol Davar Pesha, that's also coming to say Klal Upratu Chlal, why does it have a separate klalu prat uchlau, have them included together, have them say the same thing? Because it says, "Kitein ish areo kesef kelim lishmor v'ganav mi beit eish im imatzia ganav yishalem shnayim." So there it also talks about kefil. In the end, we learn from that the individuals who take a shvu'ah as a shomer chinam, for what items do they take a shvu'ah? So that's what that klal upratu klal comes to teach us. And the second one comes to teach us about kefil. But if the second one was similar to the first one, and it was to be learnt like a klal upratu klal, just like the first one, then you should have consolidated and put them together. So then why do you have this? I'll call them a pesha lamalish, I mean, not ribuyuhu, that's a ribuy miyu to ribuy, and not a klal upratu klal. Now remember, the way that a klal upratu klal works is that ke'ena prat. It means that you include things that are similar in nature to the common denominator of the pratim that are mentioned. And that's what it means, kalu pratu klal, and we've demonstrated that throughout this amud. Riboy miutu riboy, riba hakol. You include everything. The miutim that are there, each one specifies a particular item that it excludes. So if you learn it as riboy miutu riboy, it's not something that has a common denominator or shares common traits with the pratim, but rather, everything is included, with the exception of one item from each prat. So that means that here we have four pratim, we have Shor, Seh, Chamor, and Salma. Each one of those items will exclude a particular item. And that's what the Gemara says here. Hashtad amart kol ribuye. Now that you say kol is a ribuye, kol hani prate lamali. What of each of these individual items, these pratim, teach us? Chadim mute karka. One comes to teach you not karka. Chadim mute abadim. One comes to exclude avadim, and even though before we learned that avadim ukshu lekarkot, that will not suffice over here in the case of kol, which is a riboy and mirabet akol, there you need a specific miut for every item that you're going to leave out because of the fact that the kol is mirabet everything. V'chadim mutei shtarot, one of them comes to exclude shtarot, salma limutei devar shenu misuyam, and salma comes to exclude things that do not have simanim, that doesn't have an identifiable marking on it that clearly identifies it or attributes it to the ownership of the baal of the item. The Baalei Tosafot are a little bit circumspect about Rashi's explanation about davar misuyam that means something as a siman, because why is that relevant over here to our case of the shomer? So he brings, first of all, from the Riva, that it means kagon, the Mishnah in Shavuot that says that you only take a shvuah when a person specifies an exact amount, but not when they give you a general statement about how much was given over here. For instance, they say, I gave you a house full of items, or I gave you a box full of this. That's not sufficient grounds for a shvuah, because there's no exactitude to the measurement of the item that you're making a claim on. Or Tosfot offers the possibility that it refers to, it has to be a whole item. That if a person makes a claim for half an item, that's not included in this parshia. In defense of Rashi, it seems that the Meiri indicates that the case here might be a case of an aveda that was found, and the person is toin tanat ganav. That toin tanat ganav is only meaningful if it was a davar misuyam, if it was in a davar that had simanim, which he's obligated to return. But if it's an item that did not have simanim, and therefore he's no obligation to return it, when he takes a shvuah, even if it's a false shvuah, the gabay negneva, since he had no obligation to return it, he's not chayiv kefil, he's found to be a ganav. So the Meiri does qualify that and say that that is only applicable to the din of shvuah, but has nothing to do with gneva or to tashlume kefil, because neither of those items have a requirement of simanim, and therefore if someone steals something that doesn't have a siman, they're still chayav kefil. Or if someone steals such an item, they do have to return it. So there is a requirement of hashavat gneva, even though exempt from paying kefil in the case of a shvuah. Now, ironically, in the end, through the ribui mitu ribui, we end up being memayit the same items that we were memayit by a klal upratu klal, which is that we exclude karkaot, shtarot, and avadim. But we have the benefit here now of including everything, meaning including ofot, and we don't have to worry about ofot or any other items that would have been excluded. Al kol aveda, and then what do you do with the al kol aveda? Look at the Rabbi Chiya ba'abo. Rabbi Chiya ba'abo, Amar Rabbi Chiya ba'abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Atuain, Tanat Ganav ba'aveda. Someone who is Tuain Gneva by an aveda, meaning that he found something, and the owner of the item comes to collect it from him and says, please return the aveda to me. He says, you know what? I did find your aveda, but it was stolen from me. Then Edim come and tell us that it wasn't stolen from him, but rather he took it for himself. So from that we learn that by Tuain Tanat Ganav, by an aveda, Mishalem Tashlume Kefel, Shinemar, Alkol Aveda Asher Yomar. So there you learn out from Alkol Aveda. So there's what you learn from all of these Miutim and Ribuim over here. Now Gemara says, Nanotam. We have a Mishnah. Heichan pikdoni. Person comes to the Shomer and says, where is the item I deposited with you? Amalei avat, says it was lost. Mashbiachani, says, I want you to take a shvuah to that effect, or I'm telling you, take a shvuah to that effect. V'amar amein. And the Shomer answers amein, in the affirmative. I accept, I take a shvuah. V'edim edim oto shachalo. And the edim come and testify that he actually ate it. Mishalem et hakeren. He just pays back the principal amount. Hodel piatzmo, if we don't have a deed that tells us this, but rather he admits himself that he took it. Mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then he pays the keren plus a fifth on top of that, which is really 1/4, is 25%. And in asham, he brings a korban asham gzelot, which is that if you take a shvuah, and by your own admission, you tell us that you lied in that shvuah, in the case here of a pikadon as a shomer, you bring in Hashem Gzelot. So that's the first part of this Mishnah. Heichan Pigdoni. Here's the second scenario. He says, where is the item I deposited with you? Amalo Nignaf. Says it was stolen. Mashbiachani. Says, I want you to take a shvuah to that effect. Vamarameini responds in the affirmative. Yes. Ve'edim ve'edim otoshi ganvo. And then the edim testified that he himself stole it. V'shalim tashlume kefel. Over there he pays kefel. If he admits to this wrongdoing of his own volition, then he pays Karen Vachomesh and an Asham, similar to what we saw before, that when if it's by your own admission, you pay a Karen Vachomesh and you bring an Asham Gzelot, even though that's not written in the Parshia in Vayikra, but the parallel Parsha of Gzelot that is written in Parshat Naso by the Gezelager, it says there, Vihit Vadu et Chatatam, that they admit to their iniquity, to their wrongdoing. And so therefore we learn from that, that only through by your own admission, can you b'chayav a korban in this case. And the chomesh and the asham are correlated or connected together. So only if you are chayav in the korban, chomesh, and only if you're chayav in the chomesh, are you chayav in the korban. That's what over here says, the chiddush in the two cases here. The first case is avad, is a case where he ate it. So despite the fact that it's no longer around, I mean, it's consumed, it's gone, he still doesn't pay kefel, because he was toein tanat avad. And Seifa, where he's toein tanat nignav, even though it's still extant, he has to pay kefal. So those are the two scenarios here. I mean, that they give you the extremes in each case. In the case of Aveda, it's gone now, because he ate it. Nevertheless, he's only chayav keren. On the other hand, by the kefal, where it's still extant, he is chayav kefal, because he was toin tanat ganav. Tani miha. But here we see from these mishnayot, betoin tanat ganav, the mishalem tashlume kefal. If a person makes a claim of gneva in order to protect themselves from liability as a shomer, that they pay kefal. Aval betoin tanat avad. But in a case where he claims that it was lost, lo mishalem tashlume kefal. You don't pay double. Vafilu toin tanat ganav bishvuahu de mishalem. And even when you're toin tanat ganav, that's only if you do it under the auspices of a shvuah. The mishalem tashlume kefal. Aval shelo bishvuah. If he says that it was stolen, even though he's not telling the truth, and even though he's found to be the thief, he still doesn't pay kefal because he never took a shvuah. Eino mishalem tashlume kefal. Does not pay tashlume kefal. Earlier on, we saw back in the Gemara that the reason that you might have to pay kefal by toin tanat ganav, according to Rashi, is because of the fact that you took a false shvuah. That is actually a knas. That is the penalty to you. The fact that you took a false shvuah, that's actually what generates the kefal. Over here, the Rambam disagrees and says the reason that you're chayav kefal is because you are a ganav. When you're toin tanat ganav, you're found. In the end, you are a ganav. And that's what makes you chayav the kefal. On the other hand, Rashi, back on Nun Zayin Amud Bet, says the reason that you are chayav kefal by toin tanat ganav is hilkach knoso mishum shvuahu dekansei rachmono. It's a knas min haTorah for the false shvuah that you pay kefal in this case of toin tanat ganav. So the Gemara says, "Minahani mila." How do you know this? Where do you learn this from? The Tan Rabbanan, imi matzei ganav. It says in the pasuk, if the ganav is found, betoin tanat ganav akatub midaber. The pasuk speaking about someone who claims through a claim of gneva to make himself patur as a shomer. Ataomer betoin tanat ganav oinel beganav atzmo. How do you know it's speaking about someone's making a claim as a shomer that it was stolen, rather than simply it is the ganav himself? Kusho Omer, in the subsequent pasuk when it says im lo yimatzei ganav betoin tanat ganav akatuv mitaber, that clearly is talking about toin tanat ganav, and therefore since the subsequent pasuk is talking about toin tanat ganav, the first pasuk as well is talking about toin tanat ganav. Tani idach, we have another bright, and then I'll explain this. Im yimatzei ganav beganav atzmo akatuv mitaber. It's speaking about a ganav. This is arguing on the previous braita, and saying that imatzei ganav is speaking about a real theft and a real thief, not a shomer who's making a claim of theft. Ata omer beganav atzmo, and ala betoin tanat ganav. Shomer im lo imatzei ganav, and the subsequent pasuk when it says imatzei ganav, ari toin tanat ganav amur. The psukim already deal with the shomer who's making a claim of geneva. How many mikayim? What do I do with the pasuk? Im imatzei ganav. Beganav atzmo akatuv midaber. There, the pasuk speaking about ganav himself. So now, what you have here are two psukim in a row by a shomer chinam. By a shomer chinam, it says ki iten ish oreu kesef o kelim lishmor vegunav mi beit ish, and they were stolen. Imi matzei ganav yishalem shnayim. If the thief is found, he will pay kefal. That ganav, it's not clear. Imi matzei ganav is referring to a third party thief. Or Zimatzea Ganav means that the Shomer himself is the Ganav, Imatzea Ganav. So you have two brightot here arguing about what the meaning of Imatzea Ganav is. Does it mean literally you find the thief, who's a third party thief? Or Imatzea Ganav means you found the party who was the Shomer to be a thief, and therefore he's paid Shnaim. It's premised on the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, Imlo Imatzea Ganav. If the Ganav is not found, Vinikrav Balabait El Elohim, Imlo shalach melechet yadob melechet reyu. We'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to darshan, that it means he takes a shvuah, that he was not sholeach yad. And then we have the psukim that we quoted at the beginning of today's daf. Al kol davar pesha, al ashor, al chamor, al seh, al salma, al kol aveda, shiomar ki hu ze ad Elohim yavol dvar shneem, asher shino Elohim yishalem shnayim lereyehu. So twice in these psukim it says yishalem shnayim. Once in the beginning when it says imi matzei ganav, and subsequently, there are three psukim which begin right afterwards with im lo yimatzei ganav. Now, for both brightot, it's obvious, and the Gemara is going to ask this in a second, how do they know this? Im lo yimatzei ganav is talking about a case of toein tanat ganav. It's where the shomer makes a claim of gneva in order to exempt himself, and then he's found to be lying about that, and he is the ganav. Yishalem shnayim lireyu. Then he pays double. The only question is the first psukim in there right beforehand, which says im yimatzei ganav, is that also similar to the next pasuk talking about toin tanat ganav? Or is it talking about a case of a regular ganav? And it, within these psukim, we have two different cases. We have a case of ganav and a case of toain, tanat ganav. But the common denominator between them is that the pasuk of imlo yimatzei ganav is talking about toain, tanat ganav. And that's what the Gemara asks now. How do you know that? It says, the kuli alma mihat imlo yimatzei ganav, but toain, tanat ganav, ktiv. My mashma. How do you know? Or what is the meaning of that? So Amar Rava, Rava explains it. It's not necessarily compelling, meaning that you don't have to read it this way. But it's clear that they had a mesora to read it this way, and this is how you read it based on that. Im lo yimatzei, kemashe amar. But it says in the pasuk, im lo yimatzei, it doesn't mean if the ganav is not found, but rather, im lo yimatzei, kemashe amar. It's not found like what he said, the shomer who made a claim of gneva, if it's found that what he said is untrue, elishu atzmo ganavo, but he himself instead was the one who stole it, yishalem shnayim, he pays twice. So over there, that's the way to read the pasuk to make it reference the individual as being toain tanat ganav. You might be compelled to explain it this way because of the fact that it says, im lo yitzamatzei ganav, yishalem shnayim. Why is he paying double if the ganav was not found? Because we suspect that the shomer himself took it, that's why he's going to pay kefel? That's not enough of a reason to be mechayivim kefel. So it must be a case where he's toain tanat ganav, and that's why we didn't find the ganav, because the shomer himself was the ganav. And then when he's found, he's Yishalem Shnayim. And so that's why they believe that those second psukim, or that those later psukim, are speaking about a case of Toain Tanat Ganav. So now, Im Lo Yimatzei Ganav, everybody reads this Toain Tanat Ganav, and that's the way to read it. The only question is, then the previous pasuk, was that speaking about Toain Tanat Ganav, or speaking about Ganav? Uminolan de Bishvu'a, how do you know that it only when the person is Toain Tanat Ganav Bishvu'a that you are Chayav? Detanya. Nikra Balabait El Elohim. Lishvu'a Tomer? When it says, Nikav al-Bait al-Luhim, does that mean to take a Shvu'ah? L'Shvu'ah? Oh, and al-Din. How do you know that's for a Shvu'ah or is Din? Maybe it means to come to adjudicate the case in front of the court, to come to the Dayanim. Nikav Balabait. The Balabait will come el-Elohim. Elohim here is Dayanim. Not God, but Dayanim. It uses the term Elohim, which obviously has tremendous meaning in the context of a court being called Elohim, which is that the concept that we say that when you're in a court, and you have the judges there, it's Ke'ilu, the Shechina is found there with them, as if God is standing with them, and that's why the litigants have to stand in front of the judges, that's why the judges have to cover their heads, and be there, Be'ema, Veretet, because of this idea that when a court adjudicates, it's as if they are, quote-unquote, God, Lahavdil. And that's why it uses the term Elohim, which is a term that's interchangeable with God, and with the Yanim. But here it says, when he comes, Balabait Elohim, the Balabait will come to the Elohim. What does that mean? Does that mean he'll appear before the judges to adjudicate the case? And Rashi says, when it comes here to mean din, it doesn't just mean to adjudicate before them, but rather he'll be obligated to pay immediately, that Toain Tanat Ganav would not be a tour for him. Or does that mean that Nikra Balabait, he takes a Shvu'ah? We don't know. Nemar Shlichut Yad Mato, by Shomer Sachar it says Shlichut Yad, Nemar Shlichut Yad Malo, and by Shomer Chinam it says Shlichut Yad. Malalan the Shvu'ah, just like by the Shomer Sachar it means a Shvu'ah, Afkan l'shvuah, so too by Shomer Chinam, it means a shvuah. By a Shomer Sachar, it says, Ki ten ish o re'eyu chamor o shor o sev echo be'ema l'shmor, umet o nishbar o nishba, ein ro'eh. Shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eyu, v'lakach bala v'lo yishalem. So you see over there, it's clear that means shvuat Hashem. It's talking about a shvuah. It says, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eyu. So you go back to the parashiyah by Shomer Chinam, it says, v'nikrav, Balabait el Elohim, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eyu. So the im lo shalach yado is similar to the im lo shalach yado by the Shomer Sachar. And by Shomer Sachar, where it says, Shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, so to over here, the nikrav balabait el Elohim means for a shvuah and not for a din. Now, bishlom al deman damar, chad b'ganav v'chad b'toin tanat ganav, according to the one who says, the pasuk of im yimatzei ganav is talking about a regular thief, and im lo yimatzei ganav is talking about toin tanat ganav, Hanu dichtivi trei krai. That's why you need two psukim. Want to tell you about a ganav pays kefel. Want to tell you that a toain tanat ganav pays kefel. Man damar tavayu b'toain tanat ganav trei krai lomali. According to the one who says that, they're both speaking about toain tanat ganav. Why do you need two psukim to tell you the same din? The toain tanat ganav pays kefel. So amri chad limute tanat aved. Man damar says one of them comes to teach you that a tanat aveda will not result in kefel. So the one of them teaches the core din, the core principle that Toain Tanat Ganav is Chayev in Kefel. The second one comes to teach you only Toain Tanat Ganav is Chayev in Kefel, but Toain Tanat Aved, he says it was lost, he does not pay kefal. According to one who says that one pasuk is about a ganav and one about twain tanat ganav, so he doesn't have an extraneous pasuk to come to teach you that only by gneva or twain tanat gneva is it true, not by twain tanat avad. So where does he learn that from? Mi ganav ha ganav. He learns it out from the fact that it has the hey ayidia by the ganav. The way the Tosfot says is the way we darsh in other places means ha ganav mashma ha miyuchad. The unique or the special ganav, or meaning the core ganav, the thief or the core thief who's the regular ganav. And what it teaches you is that, so ha ganav teaches you that only by a ganav is this true, but nowhere else is that true. By ganav only and nothing else. So the exclusion of toaintanat avad. Ganav, avad. So he already has a miut for avad, ganav ha ganav, my dorishpe. What does he do with that? I need it for the limud of Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba and Rabbi Yochanan. Tam Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, am Rabbi Yochanan, ha toain tanat ganav v'pikadon, mishalem tashlume kefel. Tavachu machar mishalem tashlume arba'a v'chamisha. So I learned out from that, that toain tanat ganav has the same din as a ganav atzmo. That's what it means, a ganav ha ganav. Teaches you that both a ganav and a toain tanat ganav have the same din, and that means that you pay kefel if you stole it. It means you pay four or five times if you stole it and then shechted it or sold it when it's a shor or a set. Even though now it's interesting that each of the two different opinions is using haganav in a different way. One is using haganav as a miut, haganav hamiuchad, to say only ganav and not avad. And the other one is saying haganav is an inclusive term to say not only gneva, but also toain tanat ganav. Tell us what it says over here, that many times the limud has to do with the context or the direction of the limud, and therefore the same word or the same haganav can be taken both as a miut or as a ribuy. So the Gemara says, that he uses that to teach you that the exclusion of toain tanat avad and not only in the case of toain tanat gneva. Where does he know that din from? We have a juxtaposition of the psukim, according to him. The first pasuk is talking about a regular ganav. The second one is talking about a toain tanat ganav. The juxtaposition of the two makes it into a hekesh. And hekesh tells me that whatever is true by the ganav is also true by the toain tanat ganav. Now, even though you might have a logical argument to separate between them, and the reason being that toain tanat ganav is only applicable when you take a shvuah. A ganav, on the other hand, is chayav kefal even without a shvuah. So, logically, you could argue that the two should not be correlated, or you should not connect between the two. But a hekesh is a type of limud that ain't meshivin. It's not subject to logical undermining, because the hekesh says that the juxtaposition of these items makes the din this way, irrespective of the logic. And so that's what he says here, that the juxtaposition of the two teach you that din. Shapir. So that makes sense. Where does he know ganav, a regular ganav that you pay kefal? Where does he know that from? If you say learn it out of a kal v'chomer, that a person who claims gneva pays kefal, then certainly the person who steals it himself should have to pay kefal. Then you can only learn as much as the core, the base from which you learn. Malalan by toain tanat ganav, that's only true bishvua. Afkan bishvua. So too over here, by the case of regular gneva, only with a shvua would you be chayav kefel. But without a shvua, you would not be chayav kefel. The answer is, nafkele mitanet debei chizkia. He learns it out from tanet debei chizkia. Now, tanet debei chizkia mentions that there is actually a third pasuk, which the Gemara hasn't addressed yet, but there's a third pasuk by machteret, that says, if he's tunneling into the house, and it's a scenario where the Baal HaBayit faces off with him, comes to stop him, the Baal HaBayit has a right to kill him in that case, because the Ganav is not going to let the Baal HaBayit stop him without killing him. So that is the concept or the principle that we have, that call a Baal HaChor Gacha, anybody who comes to kill you, Hashkim L'Argo, you should kill him first. Im Zacha Shemesh Alav, Damim Lo. If it's clear as day, meaning that this individual, this thief that's coming will not kill you, then if you kill and you take the initiative or preemptively kill him, then damim lo, you're murdering. Shalem yishalem im ein lo v'nim kar b'gnei beto. Now, if he's caught with as a thief, and then he has to pay, that's what he does. If he can't pay, then he's sold into slavery as an eved ivri for his gneva. And then it says, im him atseitem metzei b'yado gneva. If the gneva is found in his hand, mishor ad chamor ad seh, chayim shnayim yishalem. He pays double. So there you have another case of kefel where you could be speaking about a gneva or a ganav himself. And that's what it means over here. That ganav bechizkiah means that he'll learn out of ganav from that pasuk above. There is a deficit in that pasuk, because the pasuk there that speaks about it says, the three pratim that are mentioned there are mishor ad chamor ad seh chayim. It only mentions balei chayim. Since it only mentions balei chayim, it would be limited then by the case of ganav to learn it from there, because there it mentions only livestock. It does not mention salma. And that's what the subsequent brayta is going to deal with. There's a brayta upcoming of this, Tana de Bechizkia, which is going to speak about it, and then the Gemara on tomorrow's daf on the Samach Dalet Amud Aleph will then dissect the brayta in order to understand what it means. And that's what the Gemara will deal with in tomorrow's daf when we learn that brayta, discussing what the position of Tana de Bechizkia is. Well, understand better why they have the pasuk there, and then why we need the other pasukim to help us out with the limud of Gneva. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Bet.